What's up? This is Hoppy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy, and on the phone line is Captain Brian, serial entrepreneur and jack of all trades out of Naples, Florida. He is on Hoppy Hour. What's up, dude?
Man, I'm appreciative. It's pretty cool. I'm always doing the podcast myself, and now I get to be guest on yours. I feel like a superstar.
Dude, I really dig what you do, man. You have this vibe about you. Like, you're a very busy guy, but it seems like you want to entertain the people that are watching your work.
I do. I love it. It's kind of just turned from a hobby to now like a full-time gig, you know?
How long have you been in Naples, Florida? Were you born there, or have you kind of worked there for the past few years?
No, I grew up in Boston. The day I graduated Endicott College in 98, I came directly down to Marco Island. And then the next day, I went to get my Coast Guard license to become a U.S. Coast Guard captain and started a fishing charter business about 6 months later. And after that, the writing's kind of on the wall. I went online in 98 and said, oh, I should buy a bunch of domain names to get people that are on vacation to go fishing and boating in Marco Island. It seemed like a normal thing, but no one was doing it. So my business went from one boat to 12 boats in the period of like 7 years. And then I sold it after, I guess just one day, a customer came on the boat and said, hey, I want to buy the business. I said it wasn't for sale. He made me an offer, and 30 days later, I sold it.
Why do you think people back then didn't see the potential in things you could do on the internet back then? Why do you think people weren't able to notice it?
Well, I think that in that industry specifically, that was a thing that probably they didn't understand, because it's more of a good old boys club, and everybody kind of focused on, oh, what's the next tourist magazine or the yellow pages, the phone book. You had to have the biggest ad. You know, you had to be the best guy in the phone book. So, and they all worried about building their clientele. And what I noticed was their clientele wasn't getting any younger. Every day their clientele was dying, getting sick, breaking a hip. You know, it wasn't like they could every year rely on that customer. So for me, I said, well, I want customers that are on vacation to have indispensable income, like they can come anytime and spend money and go fishing. That's what I was doing. I didn't care if they came every day and fish with me, or if they were annual customers and they paid me for the whole week, because that's what the industry was back then. And you know, in the 90s and up until the early 2000s, everybody was focused on, oh, I got Bob and he comes with his family and the whole week they're going to pay me to go fishing. You know, I didn't. I said, well, if I can go in the morning and the afternoon every single day, I can make a lot of money. If I get a second boat, I can make twice the money. In reality, it took me 5 boats to make the same amount of money that I made with one boat. But I was fishing 7 days a week, 10 hours a day, for 2.5 years myself, every single day, literally without a day off. So no matter how much you like to fish, it wears you out. So I sacrificed getting off the boat, taking those calls, focusing on building the company and marketing, and over time, it finally tipped the scale where I was making more answering the phone, booking the reservations, scheduling the captains, than I was killing myself in the sun for 10 hours a day, beating myself up in the wind, you know, rain, whatever, every single day.
Dude, it sounds like your whole life, you've been working your whole life. When you have any free time over the years, what do you do to try to decompress from all the pressure?
Well, I do love to fish now, although I did take about 8 years off. But I have 2 kids, and I spend pretty much all my free time with them. But I've found the decompression in my life is social media now. I mean, doing the podcast for me, being live on Facebook all the time, I mean, that's actually fun. I know it's more of a business thing or an entrepreneurial venture that I do all the time, but I'm actually enjoying that as part of my entertainment or relaxation, rather than, you know, my head down focused on whatever I'm building next or what I'm doing, you know, moving forward.
What type of prep do you bring when you're talking to these people in your car? Do you have much prep, or are you sort of going from the top of your head?
I would say 95% is I shoot from the hip. 5% is obviously I know who they are. And maybe we have some background history, because some of the comedians come in year after year. But overall, like when I interview local businesses and entrepreneurs or startups or like rappers and whoever it is, I pretty much just flow with the feeling and ask questions whatever I want. I mean, sometimes I might not be the best question. Sometimes I try to add comedy to it. Sometimes I just, you know, I want to know really the in-depth details of what they're doing or how they've gotten to where they are, you know, that kind of thing. But it's basically just a gift of gab. I've been doing it for so long, but I have never had a problem being short of words, as you can see.
Has there ever been a guest, you don't have to say a name, where immediately there was kind of a weird vibe, though, when they were in the car?
Oh, I've had guests where literally I tell them I'm going to start the podcast, and they don't get in the front seat. And they just sit in the back. And I won't say names, but because now I do it every day pretty much, when I have the comics, it's a 80% crapshoot if it's going to work. Because sometimes they're spent, you know, they've been traveling all night. It's not me, it's not them, it's just that I get them at 5:30 in the morning. Like I pick them up at 5:30 in the morning. We do live radio all over Fort Myers and Naples, Florida. And, you know, then they're in the car and sometimes they're either catching up on their emails, their social media, their wives are calling, their girlfriends are talking to them because they got in at 2 a.m. and then I pick them up at 5:30. And so sometimes the last thing they do is want to talk to me for another 15 minutes, but I just turn the camera on and roll with it. Like, man, sometimes it's challenging. That's probably the most challenging part of the whole thing. When I bring on a guest that I've invited to come on the show, it's all fun and games. I mean, I've never had a problem. It's just that sometimes if you're dealing with a comedian and he's been traveling for 12 hours from California because there's no direct flights to Fort Myers, and then I pick him up at 5 a.m, it's like they've had 2 hours of sleep or no sleep, and they haven't had 2 minutes to even check their phone. So, but I would say literally 12 out of 15, it's never a problem. Maybe 2 or 3 every once in a while is an issue, but everyone's been really good. I mean, I've been doing it for 14 years. I haven't done it every day for 14 years, but the past year, I do it every day. I mean, I've had huge guests. I mean, I've had Kevin Hart, Amy Schumer. I've had everyone from Erie Spears all the way to Jamie Kennedy. You know, I've had a lot of guests, so.
What's it like seeing the real side of comics, though? Is it sort of weird?
Well, I mean, I think that everyone sees the side of comics that are on stage. And majority of comedians are regular people. There are some people that literally never come off their stick. It doesn't matter if they're trying. That's not them trying to be them on stage. It's just the way they are on a daily basis. There's other people who you wouldn't even know or speak to unless they grab that microphone and get on stage. I don't want to mention names because I love them all, but there's a huge, vast difference. Some guys are on all the time, and some guys literally, they're in a nutshell the whole time until they grab that microphone, and then they're superstars.
I find it kind of weird. I've met a lot of comics, and it's sort of weird when they keep doing their act and you're talking to them, and they never turn it off. Like, it's cool, but it's just like you can tell that they're a comic. Like, if you were to meet this person and you didn't know who they were, you would know they're a comic, if that makes sense.
It totally makes sense because I see it sometimes on live radio. But I think when you get in the car and I'm driving, like, it relaxes people a lot more because they're not really realizing that I'm either interviewing them or wanting them to put it on and be funny. It's just kind of us talking. So I think that's why people tune in so much, because it's just too a guy and a girl or two guys just having a good time, you know?
What's it like owning a comedy club? How much work goes into it?
Well, it's basically like taking a restaurant and a bar and taking a nightclub and dealing with entertainment. It's the two worst businesses you can put together in one. It's difficult, man. It's not very easy. It's funny because the fishing business is very hard as well. And a lot of times people say, oh, when I retire, I want to get a boat and I want to fish and make a lot of money. And I say, well, if you want to fish, that's great. But if you want to make a lot of money, you don't want to be in the fishing charter business. The comedy club business is the same way. I mean, it's very difficult. Like, we walk a thin line every single week, you know, whether we risk $5,000, $10,000 or $50,000. If you don't sell those tickets, you lose. That's it. There's no way to make up for it. It's just you're basically gambling with your own money and making sure that you're hedging the bet enough because you know that they have a big enough following and that your marketing is strong enough. Like, imagine if the first act you book is a $55,000 act and you got to sell enough tickets to sell $55,000 worth of tickets to break even. And then you got to pay all your staff and your box office and radio ads and everything else. You're looking at $70,000 nut to crack before you make dollar one. I mean, that takes big ones out the gate. Like, I didn't start there. I literally, we were risking $500 weekends. That's not how, if you jump into that business, you better know what you're doing if you want to play with the big boys.
What is the process of booking comics? How much work goes into it?
Well, I do all the booking. I do all the marketing. I pretty much manage all the tickets. So it's a nonstop affair. The thing that's really taxing on a person that is the booker, if they're not in LA, is that these guys in LA work till like 10 o'clock at night. And you get a call like for Joel McHale. Hey, Joel McHale wants to do 4 or 5 comedy clubs in the next 3 months. And that call comes in at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, our time. I answer the phone. That's what I do. Like, that's how I roll. Other comedy club owners aren't available, or they have a booking agency that handles all their club dates. Those guys work, 9 to 5. So I get those calls a lot. I take every single one, no matter what. And literally no matter what I'm doing. And you can imagine 11 o'clock at night. I just answer the phone, man. That's how I do it.
What do you do to turn it on? So like right when they call, are you the same person or do you play like a different person on the phone?
Everyone kind of knows me. They know me as Captain Brian. They all get a kick out of it. Like, guys in LA are like, they think it's funny that I'm a captain. So they love to say that. But overall, we have good days and bad days. I mean, it's not all fun and games and smelling like roses. Believe me, it's cursing, it's swearing, it's yelling at people. It could get pretty nasty. But for the most part, like, I always like to do just straight up deals. Like, this is how it is. This is how it works out, and handshake, and everyone has a good time. But sometimes deals get weird. I mean, guys don't show up and do press at the right time, and they're 2 hours late for shows, or it could be a nightmare. You never know.
Now, where can people find all your work, everything you're up to?
Pretty much all my websites, offthehookcomedy.com. The Captain's Log Podcast.com. You can go to CaptainBrian.com, which is B-R-I-E-N. That's my liquor brand. I sell vodka rum, gin, and dark rum. It's all handcrafted. It's organic. It's sugar-free vodka, gluten-free products. They're all distilled 48-plus times, super premium liquors. So that's my newest venture. I started it in November. And we're in over 55 stores right now, and hopefully we have a major retailer that's going to take us national in the next 3 months.
I saw you were doing some work with Mike Kelta. I work with him here at the Bone.
He's the best. I love him. I've had a great relationship with him for years. Ralphie May introduced us, and Mike's come to the shows a number of times. So we always had that in common. And I know that he reached out to me the other day, said he wants to talk to me about a new venture he's doing. So I'm interested, and I look forward to speaking with him pretty soon.
Well, dude, it's been a lot of fun having you on the show, and I will be sure to keep checking out everything you're up to.
Well, I appreciate it, man. They can find me on Instagram at Cap Brian, CapBrien, and reach out, say hello. Ryan, thanks, man. I look forward to hearing the rest of the interview. Send me a link when it's up and live.
Awesome. Thank you, bro.
Be good. Take care. Bye-bye.
Happy hour. Happy hour.